Okay. Hello, and welcome to Sideburns, a side production of Third Degree Burn. And we are here today to talk about X-Men Hidden Words, Hidden Years. My name is John Hyatt, and I'm here with the fantastic Nigel Spink.
Oh, thank you very much, John. Yes. Hello, everyone.
Hey, well, we are moving along on our coverage of the series X-Men Hidden Years and the Strangest Teens of All, which is pretty cool. And we were just getting talking a little bit about how hot we've been having it. I'm in Southern California, and we've been having a wee bit of a heat wave. It hasn't hit the max that we've had, which I expect we'll be getting later. But it's been pretty warm and humid and just sticky and uncomfortable. And it sounds like you're having that as well.
Yes. Yeah, the weather sounds very similar for you and me and for me. Yeah. And like you say, we're not into the hottest time just yet. Another few weeks, I think, before we'll hit the maximum. But in parts of Japan, it's already reaching almost 40 degrees Celsius. Yeah. So it's a scorcher this time.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Well, have you seen Wolverine and Deadpool yet? Has it made it
I'm not sure, actually, but no, I won't be seeing it. I'm not a Deadpool fan. I refuse to watch anything that's Deadpool. Sorry, but
Well, that's okay. Well, it was the rage at San Diego Comic-Con, which was
a couple weeks ago.
Last weekend. Yeah. And it was the rage. People were going mad for it. So and box office hits were going crazy. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm probably just going to see it just to see the experience. But but I haven't seen it yet, so that's going to be kind of fun, I think.
No, I, as I say, I can't be doing with Deadpool at all. It started with the comics, and I'm just not interested. I don't like the character. I don't like the silly things that they do.
Yeah.
I don't like my superhero films silly. Uh-huh. It's as simple as that. That's why I hated such as Ragnarok and Love and Thunder and those kind of films, because it's not for me.
Yeah, excellent. That's what's great about the variety of films that we have, is that they tickled fancies of different people, and some are more different than the others. Did you see the reveal for the Avengers and the upcoming Fantastic Four films?
I saw the thing about Robert Downey Jr.
is
going to be Doom.
I've
not seen a lot of anything else regarding Fantastic Four. Oh, they had the drones making a big light picture of Galactus, didn't they? I saw that on Facebook somewhere. Yeah, somebody took a picture of that being put up in the sky. Yeah,
there was a big display in San Diego with the drones and fireworks, and they also did the Fantastic Four flare.
I saw that.
A lot of a lot of crazy stuff. So people are getting excited for the new Fantastic Four movie.
I'm just waiting to see. I don't know about you, but I'm still a bit skeptical as to whether this one's going to be like it's got to be better than that last one, of course, but I don't know as it's yeah, I'll wait and see. Hopefully they'll surprise me and get it right this time. But
That's right. It is a wait and
then
see.
yeah, for me they're not off to a good start because I'm not really impressed with the cast
Oh, okay.
of the main character. Oh, except for RDJ, of course. If he's going to be in it as Doctor Doom, that is. Maybe he's not actually in the FF film, I don't know, but
I think.
because it's for the Avengers films, isn't it, that they're touting the Doctor Doom. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm still a bit, I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to get too excited because, I mean, for me, Pedro Pascal does not conjure up images of Mr. Fantastic for a start. He's a bit of a short guy, isn't he, for that? and I don't really know much about the other three that
Well,
are in it.
we'll have to wait and see then.
Yeah,
They may
I'll wait
surprise
and
us.
see. I mean, Galactus, if they do it properly, this time should be good. I'm not too excited about the female Silver Surfer because I can't see why they would do that.
Well, let's just wait and see.
You're not saying anything else.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Okay.
I'm not going to judge a film before I see it. I
No,
might end up
no.
loving it, you know. The
Yeah,
Marvel
well,
Universe,
I
cinematic
hope.
universe has made a lot of changes and things, and
Yeah.
some work and some don't, and
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know.
I hope that everything turns out okay and I'm gonna love it.
Yeah. So shall we move on to X-Men Hidden Years?
Let's,
All
yeah.
right.
So
Well, I've got number 10. We're going to do issues 10 and 11. And I get the first one because you did the first one last time.
it.
So, yes?
Yes,
Okay.
yeah, off we
I will get
go.
on with the synopsis, and then we'll get in with our little particulars and the fun things that we get. So, we're
Right.
X-Men. Here's number 10. Home is where the hurt is. It was published, it has a September 2000 cover date. It's on sale July 6, 2000. Writer, penciler, and cover are John Byrne. Inks Tom Palmer. Colorist Gregory Wright. Editor Jason Liebig. And also on sale by Byrne that month was only one other issue, other book,
Oh.
which was Spider-Woman 15 in July of that
Okay.
year. I imagine this because Lost Generations had a late had two in the June issue.
Yes, they
The
did,
second
yeah.
one was June 28th, so it was right close to the end of July or to the July date. So pretty sure that's probably why it was only one other book and then
Yeah.
so the synopsis. The Savage Land mutate called Amphibious is diving through the water to save his master Magneto from drowning after falling out with the Nugari airship. That happened. Oh, I can't remember. What was that? Issue 7? I should have put an editor's note there.
Six, I think,
End
episode
of
six.
6, and we're on episode 10, so that's several issues. So finally, Amphibious is reaching Magneto, carries him onto an island of the Savage Land. Cut to Muir Island. Jean Grey is being examined by Dr. Moira MacTaggert. Professor X brought Jean to the secret laboratory to find out what happened to Jean when she was in space with Fantastic Four. We all know what that was. Doo-doo-doo. Indeed, Dr. MacTaggert discovers small traces of something unknown in Jean's body. But it does not explain the hallucination Jean had or if it will have a long-term effect on her. On the way back to the United States, Jean speaks her concerns about Professor Xavier continuously hiding secrets from the X-Men. The medical facility on Muir Island being just another example because Xavier told the other X-Men that they would travel to Boston. After returning to the school for gifted youngsters, Cyclops informs Professor that Cerebro has picked up a signal of a new mutant a few miles away from Dunphy, Illinois. Beast takes special interest in this because his parents do not live far from the signal's origin. So he and Xavier travel there together and take a short trip to visit his home. Back at the school, Scott and Jean are suddenly surprised by the appearance of Candy Southern while they're working on computers, and no alarms were set off when she entered the building. Candy states that she knows about them and even says, "Hey, Jean and Scott, or shall I call you Marvel Girl and Cyclops?" She says that she knows about them belonging to the X-Men and that Professor X has given her access to less sensitive areas of the school. Candy wants to find Warren because she has some important news to tell him. At the same time, Havoc, Lorna, and Kazar are flying over the Savage Land to find Iceman. They have no clue that Bobby is suffering from amnesia and that he is in the company of Dr. Carl Lycos, aka Sauron. Lycos had settled on the island, on an island in the Savage Land, and now it living in the remains of a German expedition camp, which was there exploiting the geothermal energies. Lycos hopes to use their works to be able to feed on those energies. Lorna is confused because as to why Iceman is there, because he quit the X-Men way back in issue number one. In Illinois, Hank and Professor X arrive at the estate, at the home of the Martin family, where they hope to find the new mutant. Hank scout, finding no answer at the door, Professor X and Hank suggest that they just go and snoop around the house. So I find that weird. They're just like, "We're just going to go walk around somebody's house." It's like, wow.
Discreetly, though.
Well, they're X-Men. Nothing happens discreetly there. Hank scouts the huge garden and enters a barn where he discovers a sentinel in the shadows. Another quick thing. This issue is just like every other page is jumping back and forth. So back to a new scene. Flying over the ocean, Candy finds herself on a jet with the X-Men wearing the green Marvel Girl outfit, while Jean is still sporting her original black and yellow uniform. Candy doesn't know why she has to wear the Marvel Girl outfit, and Jean explains that it's because when they're out and about that the uniforms are to protect their identities, and Candy figures out that if someone recognizes her, it might blow their cover. So she agrees, although she doesn't like wearing green, she says. Cerebro did detect Warren and some other beings around the signal. And Cyclops, Jean, and Candy end up on an old ship in the middle of the ocean. After entering the ship, they are quickly surrounded by some strange-looking humans, and they must fight their way through them to be able to search for Angel. In one of the ship's cabin, they open the door only to find a feathered-winged person. Back at the Martins, Professor X meets young Ashley Martin, who is obviously the mutant they're looking for. Serene meeting is interrupted by the Beast flying through the house, quickly followed by the Sentinel, destroying the house. Told you they couldn't do it subtly, Nigel.
Yep.
The Sentinel incapacitate, a battle ensues. The Sentinel incapacitates the Beast using a nerve gas and holds both the Beast and Professor X in its huge hands when it detects the mutant Ashley as well. Ashley wants the Sentinel to put the visitors down, and the Sentinel complies because they pose no threat now. But then it picks up Ashley with the intent to destroy all mutants. To be continued.
Ooh. Yeah.
So there we are. Action-packed for sure. A lot of things going on in this book.
Sounds like, yeah, a lot of setup there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of things going on. So let's start with the cover, which is a split cover.
It is.
The split cover on the top two-thirds of it shows Professor X, the Beast, and Ashley cowering in the living room while a sentinel reaches down to grab them. And we're looking from behind the sentinel between his feet at the three there. Below that, Cyclops is fighting a bunch, and Marvel Girl are fighting a bunch of human, strange-looking human beings. They actually look like my circus people, yeah. But don't know who they are. So Cyclops is blasting one, and who is holding Marvel Girl up in the air. So it's kind of an interesting little split cover there. What do you think of the cover? Yeah. What do you think of split covers?
What do I think of split covers? It depends how well they're done. What it does do well here is it's showing us what's basically happening in the two main plot threads that are going on within the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst it's not exactly accurate in what we see, shall we say, because like, as you say, on the cover, the Beast and Prof X and Ashley and the Sentinel, they're all kind of inside a house, whereas the action actually takes place outside,
mm-hmm.
mostly. And the other picture, of course, well, that's, I guess it's more accurate in terms of what's going on. Cyclops and Marvel Girl are being attacked by this group of strange people, as you say, and they're trying to fight them off.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what happens inside. Mm-hmm. It gives us an idea of what we're in for looking at the cover. As I say, with split covers, it depends how well it's done. And I mean, some covers are split. I mean, this is just split into two, so it's not so bad. Some covers, they split them into four or five. Sometimes it can get a bit much.
And it is very reminiscent of 60s and early 70s when split covers were often used.
With a thing, more of a thing, yeah.
Although usually a split cover would mean two separate stories.
Right.
And this is two separate stories, but they're all kind of concurrently mixed in. Whereas in those days, it would be story A would be maybe 15 pages and story B might be 6 pages. And two separate, definely separated stories.
And like starring different characters, such as like first story might be Captain America. And the second one is Iron Man or Hulk or something. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, an effective cover, I think, kind of draws you into the action.
Yeah.
And it tells you what's going to happen inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have to look for numbers. And I actually think I found the number, or I found what I think is a number. And at least I was looking for 76. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah.
Very good. All right. So... where I think I found it is right above Cyclops's head and the dirt underneath the Sentinel. It looks like there's a box, but I think that's a 7 and a 6 there. That's where I found what I think could be 76.
In the Argle Bargle.
Yeah,
because I was going to say this is not an easy one to find the numbers, because they look at all that Argle Bargle for a start at the feet of the Sentinel.
Yeah.
So I've not found which bit you're actually referring to. Yeah.
Right above Cyclops.
But right above his head.
Yeah, right above his head.
Okay. Well, I think I know what which bit you're looking at. I can see where you get the 6 from. But where the 7 would be looks more like a box to me.
It
looks like a square, doesn't it?
Yeah, or don't you think it does? 7 as being the top in the right angle.
Okay.
So where did you
But
find it?
you know, when I said last time that after the last couple of issues we looked at, from here on it's plain sailing, I lied. Because this is not easy to find. I mean, I once you find it, you know where it is. But yeah, this was not an easy one to find. This was probably one of the last ones that I did find. It's actually split up. It's on the Beast. And if you have a look at the Beast, yeah. If
Okay.
you look, yeah, if you look at the, first of all, look at the Beast's right hand.
Okay.
Okay, can you see a seven on his right hand, the back of his right hand?
Where his knuckle is, I suppose that could be seven, yeah.
Okay. Now look at his left hand. The index finger down at the end of his finger.
All I see is this fingernail.
But can you see the line that also is part of the outside of the finger going to the fingernail? It forms the six.
Okay.
It's not very easy to see. Just looking at this, the cover with that, I sort of looked at it through a magnifying glass when I was scouring for the number, yeah. And then when it's brought up larger, it becomes more obvious.
Okay.
So you've got the seven on one hand and the six is on the other.
All right, that's quite a separation there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I reckon that is the 76 because I can't find them anywhere else. And yeah, this took a lot of painful searching because with the two pictures and all the stuff that's on some of the pictures that you have to look through, all the different lines and stuff, it took me ages to find it.
Okay. All
But yeah, I reckon that's it.
right. I'll stick with mine. I think mine's
Okay,
easier.
all right.
Great.
Well, I can see the six. Yeah, I can't
Let's
see
move
the
on.
seven though. But
Yeah.
yeah,
Let's move
yeah,
on.
yep. Okay, so that was not an easy one to find either.
No, it wasn't.
Definitely not. Yes, moving on. Nice splash page of
Yeah,
Amphibian there.
this kind of reminds me of the Neil Adams in the Avengers when Triton was swimming to warn the Avengers,
Oh yeah.
and
About the Kree-Skrull War, yeah.
yeah, in the Kree-Skrull War. Yeah, so that's kind of takes me back to that era of splash page, which is really cool.
Right.
So good for Amphibian, great coloring and everything. Yeah, and he finds Magneto.
He finds Magneto. Yeah, because I was just thinking actually the other day when we were working through the other issues, and I thought, yeah, I couldn't remember what happened to Magneto next because we saw him sort of jump out of the airship a few issues ago, and we didn't see him anymore after that. And I was thinking, I can't remember where he next appears. Yeah. And yeah, this is it. Amphibian finds him, yeah, in the water, as it were.
Yep, nice quick thing. And then we're off to Muir Island.
Muir Island, yeah.
Up in, I believe Muir Island is in Scotland or off of Scotland.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, yeah, one of the islands off the coast.
Yep.
Is this, well, or should I say chronologically then, would this be the first appearance of Muir Island?
I think it would be because I really don't think we were introduced to Moira until Well, definitely not until the new X-Men came
The
in, but
all
I'm
new
trying to
X.
remember when she first came.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
before or after heading off to the M'Kron Crystal, I believe she was introduced before issue 100, actually. So
Right, yeah,
yeah,
I
so
think
this
she
would
was, yeah. But...
chronologically would be the first appearance of
Yeah,
Moira
so.
and Muir Island.
Yeah, so JB's getting in another first there.
Yeah, he's
He's the first one to depict Muir Island in the in an X-Men story. Yeah. Yeah.
And this scene is reminiscent of X-Men 125 when they were testing Phoenix's powers in a very similar, if probably not the same, chamber.
Right. But yeah, similar situation. Yeah. And set up.
So, it would. The only thing I don't like about retconning this kind of stuff like this is, when Moira was testing Jean or as Phoenix in 125, she would have had all of these things and she would have known about them. So you kind of set up a paradox by doing this that doesn't make some of those things make sense anymore. It kind of makes them, it kind of, to me, it weakens the original story that we had, because
Yeah,
she
she
should
would
have had this
probably say,
information. Yeah.
she would probably say, I remember from last time when we gave you an examination and we found this strange, yeah, whatever it was that was in your body, and this looks like this is more of the same thing or whatever. Yeah.
Well,
That's
anyway.
true, yeah. But
But I tell you what, he does make this yellow and black costume look good.
Yes.
I don't mind her going back to it.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Although I do like the Marvel Girl costume, that the green one. So, but yeah, nice little dialogue exchange with Moira, and
Yes. Yeah, and she, Marvel Girl mentions Sauron in their conversation too. Yeah. She says, like, there's many evil mutants, and yeah, and some who are not mutants. And then it says, like, our old partner Karl Lycos. And then Marvel Girl, he says, oh, yeah, Sauron, but he's dead now. Yeah. And then she mentions about the secrets that Professor X is keeping from the X-Men. And
Yeah,
she
and then
can't, yeah.
on the way back, she confronts him about it. But he's holding to his guns. I think he still thinks of her as a girl.
Yeah.
And he's kind of being turned into a bit of a jerk here. It's like, it's less for me to share with you. Basically, he's like, I'll tell you what you need to know. So, wow.
But at least he's telling her because of her powers and things that yeah, he's not telling the others at all. Yeah. But she's not comfortable with the deceptions. Yeah.
Right.
She doesn't like lying to her friends.
And then
Yeah, I think he's Professor X is kind of still treating them all like when they were still teenagers, yeah. Because Cyclops and Beast meet them in the hangar when they get back. And so he kind of says, well, Marvel Girl's okay. She's got a clean bill of health. And then immediately asks them, but why aren't you on
on
monitor
monitor.
duty? What are you doing stood here talking to me, kind of thing? Is very strict.
Yeah, and it reminds me of when Cyclops had that discussion with him in the new X-Men era after Wolverine basically told him to piss off.
Oh yeah, when
And
because
Professor X is like, well, I'm giving you 100 demerits, and Cyclops is like, you could give him 10,000 demerits.
yeah,
Doesn't care. We're
won't matter.
grown-ups. You know, that was a very very important speech that he had there. It's you're treating us like we're children and we're not. But Professor X was still like, wow, then that's because you're a bad leader. And it's just like, dude, man, you, wow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But yeah, so then we flip over to Ashley and Mom. And
this is kind of leading on from the last issue, because the last time we saw them or her, the Sentinel was towering over her in a menacing way.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like it's a normal morning, and like, where's the Sentinel gone? Exactly.
Ashley's like, oh, I just had something I needed to do, and we know what that was, but
and then she's off to school.
And then we're back to the X-Men. I think it's interesting that I'm so used to this in this era of time, being the original X-Men era. They should have shown up in a limousine, not in this
the Rolls Royce, or not in this Humvee.
It's just like, okay, they've definitely modernized the
this is a bit too modernized, isn't it, really? It used to be a Rolls Royce, didn't it?
So got to meet Mom. McCoy. She looks very young to be a mom, though.
Yeah, the way he's drawn her here, she looks
like his sister. Well,
she looks younger than when she appeared in they did the origin stories of the X-Men, didn't they? Yeah. Towards the end of that first run, they were in the back of the monthly issues, and she looks younger now than she did.
Yeah,
when Professor X first came to visit Hank. Mm-hmm.
And then cut to Jean and Scott, and I really like the design on these three panels. I think, I don't know if it must be Tom Palmer's inking, because they very much take me out of Byrne and more into the era of those late X-Men before they were canceled, of the original years. So I kind of like the little bit of retro feel, but it's modernized and still definitely Byrne's work, but it definitely feels classic.
I like the look of the characters there.
But I do kind of like how Candy just marches herself around and declutters. It's like she's kind of a bully, really. She hasn't changed her outfit. I mean, hasn't it been a couple of days?
She's still wearing the all white outfit. Yeah, same gear.
It's like, okay, Candy, you're wealthy enough. I know you have enough for clothes. But the way they keep teasing, and I have news for Warren. Yeah. It's almost like, are you going to tell him you're pregnant or what? She's just holding on to this. I have news. I have news. I have news. It's like, what is your big news? And I don't even remember what it is from our
future. Well, I'm going to say, I think after reading this, I think I'm beginning to remember what it is. I'm not going to say anything right now because I'm not 100% sure, but I think I know what it is. It's coming back to me. And so she won't tell them. She wants to, well, that's what she says, is going to want to hear it straight from me. But here's a spoiler. She's not pregnant.
Bottom panel, a great panel of the three of them. I kind of like how they're just, I guess it's on autopilot, this?
Yeah, in the Savage Land.
None of them are steering the ship.
No, nobody appears to be. Yeah. Havoc could be holding on to the
steering device with his
left hand, but it's not clear.
Yeah, his thumb on the sixth position of the steering wheel, like we do in the car.
There's definitely nobody else touching anything. Yeah.
Then we get a nice retrospective of Sauron, a recap of who he is and how he came to meet the X-Men and everything on that wonderfully glorious page, a couple pages over. Man, I just love that. And that basically recaps the last adventure they had with them, and very much Tom Palmer just took over on this. It's really great.
And then he finds himself in the Savage Land.
When did Bobby lose his clothes? And why didn't he was all bundled up, right? I mean, now he's just in his trunks. Yeah.
But remember when he was looking for, he wanted a plane to take him the rest of the way from the bottom of South America to the Savage Land.
That's right, but he did it in an ice.
The weather was lousy, yeah. So he turned into Iceman and he did it under his own power. So I guess when he turned to Iceman, he stripped off.
Froze his clothes off, huh?
and then, of course, when he reached the Savage Land.
Well, if he was trying to keep his identity a secret, he's not now. Even though he has amnesia, it's clear who he is with an X on his belt.
Well, but the only person who's seen him really, who knows who he is Lycos.
He's withholding. He's doing good on his restraint because Sauron normally would have drained him by now and
cracked by now.
So, but this recap of Sauron was just fantastic. Great page there.
Just to fill everybody in, if they're not up to it with who he is,
all the way up to the falling off the cliff and the X-Men coming down. Yeah, great stuff.
So that falling off the cliff picture, is the same thing from a different angle as what you got in the Neil Adams issue. Yeah,
I forget which issue that was, 63 or 4 or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah,
66.
Oh, 63 or maybe.
Late in the run, right before they canceled.
I'm going to say 64 was the Sunfire issue.
Okay.
So it would have been, 62 or 63. Yeah.
Great. And then
they arrive at the Martin's house.
And this is where they just go snooping around. Let me just okay. I think it's odd, somebody would just go peeping around somebody's house.
Actually, when I say the bottom panel on that page, not only is Hank kind of snooping around, but he's not even walking like an ordinary person. He's moving like a gorilla, which would make him look even more suspicious if anybody was watching. He's like, who's this guy sort of leaping along like a gorilla?
I like on the next page how the Sentinel is just in a silhouette, and then all of a sudden you just see
the eyes
where the eyes where he just wakes up like, what,
switching on. I see Barbie's there again.
There she is on the playground.
The toy Barbie there outside the barn. And the Sentinel, and it's awake. And then back to the high seas again, and
there we go.
Getting into costume. Candy's a bit annoying, isn't she?
She wants to go, but it's like, what are you going to do? You can't fight, you can't.
Yeah. Do we have to wear these? Yes, because I like that. Jean says, we don't just wear these because it's a fashion statement. and then she's moaning about the colour. Green's not my colour. Tough.
Just dump you out right here.
And then Scott asks her, doesn't he? If you had a spare green costume, why did you not change into it yourself to Jean?
Yeah.
And she's saying, I feel more comfortable in the old black and yellow.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it does look better, actually. I never really, to be honest, I know you said you liked it. I never really went a lot for the green outfit. when Marvel Girl was wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe because to me it just looked too ordinary. Can I say that? It was just like a short one piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With kinky boots, which in the 60s was kind of okay.
Yeah.
that was fashion statement in the 60s.
Yeah.
So the only thing to add was the mask over the eyes, really.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, it didn't do a lot for me, that one. Yeah. I prefer her in that old costume that's been redesigned a little bit.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Then we get on board ship.
Yep.
And they meet these other beings.
Looks like a rusty old tub.
Yeah.
What's it called? The Teratos or something. The ship Teratos.
Quite a scene there. It doesn't take much for them to get out of the way, but I like how Candy is trying to fight the big.
Yes. One. Yeah, yeah.
But
attacking the big.
Mm. But they do get out of it rather quickly. So it is interesting find out what this is going to be about. And and we already kind of know that the captain collects strange creatures or strange beings. That's why he wanted Avia and Warren to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out later what that's all about. And of course they wander on down around, find a feather of some sort.
Yeah. And then some more feathers, a trail of feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Open another door, and we see a winged person, but we don't know who it is.
Although the leg is colored blue, so you would
think
it's Angel.
And Cyclops is saying, "Oh no!"
Yeah. Yeah, and there we are back to the Martin's place. Kind of a nice way to transition over there, and here comes the Sentinels with Beast. Beast is pretty tough to be going to be punched all the way through the house the back.
Yeah.
But
then the Sentinel then just walks through the house and demolishes it. Yeah. Oops.
Mrs. Martin is going to be very upset when she gets home. But there they are, captured rather easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Professor X's powers have no effect on a Sentinel, so he truly is useless in a fight.
He's pretty much, captured immediately, snatched from his chair, and the Beast is overcome with a nerve gas. Yeah. But then, Ashley
scolds him. I didn't hide you in a bar to wreck my house.
And he puts them down as she asks him to do, which is a bit strange. Mm.
But then he says, "We are Sentinels, designation B73A4G9 and 12.
Well, so that's about five Sentinels.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that's going to be about. Obviously, he's a composite Sentinel, but how did he get put together?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Destroy all mutants.
And they're complying with their last order, which was, destroy all mutants. So you think, oh, no, he's going to squeeze Ashley to bits because he's got her in his hand, and then he'll probably stomp on the two, Beast and Professor X. So what's going to happen?
Yeah. So overall, how did you like the book?
It's set up a lot of things, as I say, to keep you enthralled and wanting to read the next part. Excuse me. He's certainly good at keeping the story going like that, and keeps adding the more subplots and little bits to
yep.
keep you enthralled throughout. Yes.
Definitely mm-hmm. so. Yeah.
It's like, I can't wait for the next issue kind of feeling. Yeah.
And definitely. You don't have to. We can go right
on. We don't
on.
Have to. That's right. Yeah.
It's been hidden years 11.
We Yay. Can move on to number 11. Let's do that, shall All we? Right. So
there you go.
Yeah. X-Men, The Hidden Years, number 11. It had a release date of August 2000. And the cover date is October of 2000. The creative team is writer, penciler, letterer, John Byrne, inker, Tom Palmer, colorist, Gregory Wright, editor, Jason Liebig, editor-in-chief, Bob Harris. So the same crew as before. Other works from Byrne. For October of 2000, Marvel's The Lost Generation, number 5. He was the artist on that one. And Spider-Woman, volume 3, number 16. He was the writer. That's all for that. He's having a bit of a holiday, really, at this stage, isn't he? He's
yeah.
not doing much at all, really, for John Byrne.
Mm. Yeah. Writing one book, penciling another, and then writing and penciling one. So,
yeah,
split up his works there.
That's it. And the title of this issue is Destroy All Mutants. Again, that command. Right. We're going back to the past again. 4 weeks ago, on the sliding timescale, Larry Trask orders his sentinels to secure all mutants in the area and destroy them. Judge Chalmers, Larry's guardian and friend of his late father, Bolivar Trask, objects. This annoys Larry, who accuses Chalmers of being a mutant lover or even a mutant himself. This leads Judge Chalmers to reveal that Larry himself is the mutant, and when he takes Larry's protective medallion from him, the sentinels refuse to obey any new orders from Larry and follow the last order to destroy all mutants. 2 weeks later, in the ruined and deserted sentinel base, fragments of several shattered robots come together and rebuild themselves as a functioning sentinel. Skip to the present. The sentinel now stands in a garden in Dunphy, Illinois, towering over Professor X and the unconscious Hank McCoy. The sentinel is holding a 10-year-old mutant called down. It complies, which surprises the professor. Meanwhile, Cyclops, Marvel Girl and Candy Southern are on an old ship hoping to find their missing comrade, Angel. Instead, they find the Nugari mutant called Avia staked to a wall. She's still alive, and the X-Men quickly free her and try to get her back to their jet. But they are confronted by Stefan Kruger and his mutant freaks. And to make it worse, Kruger seems to be immune to Cyclops' optic blasts. Cut to an island in the Savage Land. Amphibious spies on two strangers who are using an old base camp building as a shelter. He then hurries back to the cave, where he finds Magneto, who is recovering his magnetic powers and is ready to strike again. Back in Dunphy, Illinois, Ashley explains that the Sentinel appeared from nowhere recently and that she hid it in the barn. Even more explanations are required when Ashley's mother arrives home. Elsewhere, Cyclops questions Kruger regarding the whereabouts of Angel, to which he only replies that he is safe for now. Kruger mistakes Candice Southern for Marvel Girl, and as she is wearing one of Jean's costumes, she starts to deny being one of the X-Men, but Jean telepathically tells Candy to play along with the facade. Kruger is a mutant, and he suddenly uses his ability to shut down other mutants' powers, rendering Cyclops, Marvel Girl, and Candy unconscious. He then contacts the Blob via radio and offers him more X-Men for sale. Back in Illinois, Professor X tells Mrs. Martin that her daughter is a mutant. He then gets Ashley to ask the Sentinel how he came to be there. After repairing itself, the Sentinel flew west and detected a mutant presence over Dunfee. On landing in the Martin's garden, the Sentinel had collapsed again. However, when Mrs. Martin accidentally says the words, "Destroy all mutants," the Sentinel starts to attack again. Ashley orders the robot once again to stop, but this time the Sentinel does not obey. This makes Ashley mad, triggering her mutant powers, and she destroys the Sentinel by causing it to rip itself apart. In the Savage Land, Bobby Drake and Dr. Carl Lykos find themselves under attack from someone. Bobby finds Lykos, who he knows as Joe Smith. But as he approaches him to help, Lykos tells him to get back and calls him Drake. Bobby touches Lykos, who feeds off Bobby's mutant energy and transforms into Sauron. Next, Sauron versus Magneto, to be continued.
Yeah, wow.
Da-da-dan.
Yeah.
So it's all happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think?
This is a good issue. Nice follow-up for all of the setup in the first and issue 10. We got some payoff here, which is good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start with a quick look at the cover, which is again a split cover.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, it's split more vertically. Yep. We've got on the left-hand side, two-thirds of the cover are showing the Sentinel with Ashley in his right hand and grabbing hold of Beast in the foreground in his left hand. And yeah, looking quite menacing. He's got hold of them both. It looks like he's about to do with them as he pleases. They're in a bit of a mess there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
And in the remaining third of the cover on the right-hand side, we see Avia staked to the wall. And Cyclops being attacked by two of the freak guys, they're sort of holding him back, and Marvel Girl is kind of on the floor at their feet as if she's been knocked down already. Yeah. But again, the cover is showing us what you can expect from the inside. It's fairly accurate in the case of where Avia is staked to the wall. And the Sentinel does in fact attack them again. The only difference between the cover and the inside is that the Beast is wearing his X-Men costume on the cover,
mm-hmm.
whereas he isn't actually in the story. But other than that, it's just as it happens. Yeah. So nice cover, nice and colorful. I like the colors on the cover.
It is colorful. Indeed.
Very rich. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The number was easy to find.
I'm going to say hidden numbers, and please tell me you found this one.
Yeah, this it's right there on Avia's wing.
Yeah, this is the easy by comparison. A lot easier. Just underneath the stake there. a clear 77. Yeah.
Indeed.
That one was an easy one.
Yeah. Nice. Good.
So moving inside, and like issue 9, we start back in the past again in the Sentinel, in the Sentinel's compound with Larry Trask.
Yeah. And again, one of my favorite stories from that era. So that's really great to see this revisited.
Mm-hmm.
And for Tom Palmer to keep the feel of that story with his inks.
Yeah. I can't remember this kind of confrontation here between Trask and Judge Chalmers. Did we actually see it all like this in the original Neil Adams issue?
I don't recall it being so detailed as this. I mean, I do recall that he confronted him. He pulled the necklace off. Medallion.
The medallion, right.
I mean, it could have been. I just don't recall. But then, yeah, it went right to where the Sentinels identified Larry as a mutant himself.
Yeah, which it does there at the bottom of the third page. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, this particular story, from there it jumps forward, as it says, 2 weeks later. And, of course, that story has finished and the Sentinel base is all derelict and smashed up. And so are the Sentinels. There's bits of Sentinel all over the floor.
Yeah.
And then parts of different Sentinels start to sort of come alive and crawl to one another, and it starts to rebuild itself, which answers your question from the previous issue about why he was so many different numbers.
Yeah.
It's a Sentinel creating itself from 5 parts of old Sentinels.
So we should call it Franken-Sentinel.
That's a good one. Yeah, Franken-Sentinel.
Or Franken-Nell.
True. And so, process of rebirth, which then brings us to the present, which is where we were left in the garden, again with the X-Men defeated, and he's holding Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
again,
she asks him to put her down, and the Sentinel complies and puts her down.
Have a hint of what her power is, which is to I don't know if it's to control all machinery or just sentient or AI type of machinery. So,
but it seems that way. Yeah, she can talk them into doing what she wants. Uh-huh. And then of course, and she's just checking on Professor X. Are you okay? Yeah. I don't know what's gotten into my robot. I like that. Sorry about that, Prof. Yeah. Don't know what's gotten into him today. He's just smashed the house up. Shocking. Yeah. And then it's back to the ship. And they found Avia pinned to the wall. And Cyclops unstakes her. And they find she's still alive. They want to get her back to their flying jet. But the bad guys are now outside. Yeah. Outside the room. And to make matters worse, Kruger is with them. And he seems impervious to Cyclops' optic blasts.
Definitely, yeah.
So he's able to walk right up to him, even though he's blasting him with his eye beams. No problem. And he knows who he is. Kruger calls him by name and states that he's been following their careers ever since X-Men number 1. Wow. when they first appeared. And he's gathered his own group of, what does he say? Nature's mistakes.
Nature's mistakes or freaks.
They just call themselves the freaks. Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
Yep. And then into the Savage Land. And Amphibious is spying on Lycos and Bobby. hops back to the cave where he took, well, he's obviously put Magneto in here to recover. And he's practicing getting his magnetic powers back in order.
Yeah.
Because he seems to have been affected by the restorative powers from the Savage Land where they were before with the volcano and everything. And so he's getting his power back.
Yeah, good page there. I kind of like that design for Magneto, bizarrely enough. I think it was kind of fun. Kind of cool. Yeah. And then back to Illinois.
Back to Illinois again, yeah.
What does Hank do? He goes and tries to butt the Sentinel with by jumping at him. It's like, Hank, that has never worked in the past.
No.
So sure enough, just provokes it and gets the fight going again. Things were rather calm.
Yeah, but Ashley tells the big bot, as she calls him, to stop. And he does. Yeah.
So now we have a moment of calm. Mom comes home, freaking out.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. And she introduces them. Yeah. And says, but what's happened to the house? My house. And Professor X says he'll explain. So, and then back to the ship again, where Cyclops is asking Kruger about Angel. Where is he?
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that this Kruger mistakes Candy for Marvel Girl just because of her costume. I mean,
right.
If he's been following them since their thing, he knows that she's redhead.
Redhead,
And there's a redhead standing there in her original costume. I mean, why would he not think that that was Marvel Girl? And who's this other person? That seems a little strange.
Yeah, that's a bit, if he knows them so well. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we come up to a better reveal as we skip over a couple of pages. Of course, he knocks it somehow.
He's got a power to overpower other mutants and people, it seems. Yeah. And he's just knocks them unconscious with his power.
Apparently a mutant himself.
Yeah. And then he contacts Fred J. Jukes.
Yeah. Who's there with Mutus and Master.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, and so they obviously have the Angel.
Yeah.
Because he says, you got more X-Men? And then says, he's interested. The Blob always interested in a chance to settle old scores. Mm-hmm. Good drawing of the three evil mutants there.
Yeah, I thought Eunice had lost control of his powers, so he shouldn't be able to be holding a can of something there. He must have
Well, when did he lose control of his powers?
In the early days of the original X-Men.
Oh, yeah, Beast created a doohickey that it increased his invulnerability power so he couldn't touch anything. Yeah. But I thought after he'd learned his lesson, he kind of reversed it back.
Okay.
So maybe that he could at least eat and things again. Yeah. But then after that, in later issues, Eunice and the Blob came back a couple of times because they disguised themselves as X-Men at one stage to sort of give the real X-Men a bad name. They kind of did robberies and things dressed as X-Men.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened after. Oh, well, I guess. Yeah. Eventually they got captured by Factor 3.
Right. Yeah.
Because nearly all of them got captured by Factor 3, didn't they? Yeah. Yeah. And then were they also captured by the Sentinels during the Neil Adams story? I know they got some of the old baddies there
Yeah,
I
don't
remember
recall.
that. I remember seeing, yeah, I think they did. I remember seeing Vanisher, and maybe Eunice was there as well, and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, etc. Toad.
Well, so that increases the mystery for this. Are they going to get out of
The
this?
bad guys are back. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely so. Without Magneto.
Without Magneto. Well, he's there too, but in a different place. Yeah.
Yeah, not with them, but with the Brotherhood.
So we're starting to see some of the old villains again.
Yeah, excellent.
And then back to Illinois once again, where Professor X drops the bombshell that, did you know your daughter is a mutant? And then tries to explain about the Sentinels and gets Ashley to ask her Sentinel, how did it get to be here? And then it explains, yeah, it reassembled itself from several Sentinels, flew away from the Sentinel base, detected the mutant presence over Illinois, which would be Ashley. Comes down but collapses in the garden.
Yep.
And then she hid it in the barn, and yeah, the rest is history.
Until
But then
mom.
she
That's
blurbs out this phrase, yeah.
the words again, which reactivates, and it's like, oh
Yeah,
man.
destroy all mutants. Uh-oh. And it fires, yeah. Good blast of a good picture there where it's shooting some sort of eye beams, yeah. And Hanks just grabs Ashley and her mother and jumps out of the way. Ashley tries to tell it to stop, and
It denies, like,
it
nope.
thinks about it, yeah.
It sure does.
It
But
thinks
then
about it, but then says, nah. And nearly blasts her to atoms with its
going to obey something from a mutant.
Nearly incinerates her with its hand blaster, but Beast again jumps, moves her again.
Good thing he's got quick reflexes.
Yeah, and
She's
starts
tough a little
chasing
girl
him.
here. She's
Yeah.
quite feisty and fierce, isn't she?
Yeah,
And
starts
it's
chasing him around the house.
And then it convinces the other pieces of it to turn against itself, basically. So obviously it doesn't need to have some sort of a consciousness or artificial intelligence because the hands wouldn't. So she can just get the machinery to work out against itself. And it does. It really tears itself apart.
Is this power a little bit similar to Madison Jeffries, though? Do you know what I mean?
Kind of seems like
From Alpha Flight.
Yeah, box.
It seems similar that he can sort of cause havoc with machinery and things,
Yeah.
yeah. And that's it. She says she hates the robot and it explodes.
Yeah.
And
And
then
she.
she starts to go freaky, yeah.
Yeah, she turns into that kid from the Twilight Zone that's going to wish her into the cornfield.
Yeah, before I get really mad and her eyes have gone all red and freaky. But that's all we see for this issue. She's turning into something weird. And then finally back to the Savage Land where, yeah, somebody's attacking Bobby and Lycos.
And then Lycos
Lycos
can't
calls
control
him
it.
Drake. Yeah. He says his name. And Bobby says, what did you call me? How do you know my name? But then he gets too close, and Lycos can't resist because he needs the life force.
Need some energy there, and
So he
an
grabs hold
interesting
of Bobby.
series of panels of where how he turns into
That's good, the
Sauron
way.
again.
Yeah. Each panel, it starts to change, saps the powers, changes to Sauron. Bobby keels over. And then there he is in his Pterodactyl form, yeah, ready to take on whoever is attacking them.
Always a great final panel of Sauron whenever Byrne pulls him into a story. Because he did it when the X-Men were in the Savage Land after the volcano incident in the 1415 or so.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing happened. He just pulled it. So, yeah, you think the X, well, Bobby doesn't remember himself, but I'm like, gosh, X-Men, stay away from this guy. But there he goes,
And Bobby wouldn't have been there when they were in the Savage Land later on, would he? No.
But he was there the first time.
He was there the first time, yeah.
He knows it. So there we go. Wow. So now we've got three things. Four things. We've got four concurrent stories here.
Yeah.
Which are pretty crazy. And we still have Havoc and Polaris that were.
I was going to say they
fit into it all.
They didn't appear in this issue, and I was going to say though, don't you think it's strange that, the X-Men don't necessarily know about Havoc and Lorna being sent to the Savage Land to look for them, but Professor X does because he sent them. So you would have thought he would have mentioned the fact that, oh, by the way, I sent to Havoc and Lorna to look for you. Had we better not get in touch with them to say that you're back? They just seem to have left them out there. It's like, Havoc who? What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
if he can reach out to the whole world while he's facing the Nox aliens, he should be able to send at least a weak mental message.
Well, that's what I thought. If you recall, when they were first appeared and they were flying over the Savage Land, they just arrived, they did get a mental message from Professor X. So he was able to reach them then.
Yeah.
So he should still be able to reach them now, I would have thought. But he's obviously just got carried away with the next thing and forgotten all about them. Yeah, there's something. Yeah, Professor X is not well.
Overall, I thought this was a really good issue. It really moved the stories along.
Yep.
I thought issue 10 was a bit of a slowdown.
Right.
This one picked up the paces a bit and kind of.
Well, I think that's that's important because, as you say, with so much going on all the time, if it doesn't move at a fast pace, then it would become a real slog. And you'd perhaps get fed up with it, it'd just be, oh, come on, just get to the point and reveal some of these endings, before we lose track of what we're following. Yeah, so it has to move fast,
So, good. Yeah. What do you think of it overall?
I'm enjoying going through these again,
All right.
I've not read them for a long time. I'd forgotten how good I thought they were anyway. I do remember around about this stage, though, thinking there's a bit too much starting to be going on here without anything being resolved.
Well,
I was getting a bit worried about when things were going to come together.
Kind of one of the things that I didn't like back then, and it still is a bit not my favorite part of having so many stories at the same time. And it's not like before, where you would slowly introduce a plot. You've got four very active plots going on here. And it's like, just take an issue and finish up one so that you could work on some of the other stories and not just many going on at the same time. Because the constant back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So that
he
could tell the story is just kind of like, just tell me a story and then let's move on.
But don't you think it's because it's more like watching one of these TV dramas where you've got several things going on at once?
Yeah,
and they're always flicking from one scene to the next and back again and
like
back
a
again.
Soap opera, and I don't particularly care for that style.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Marvel stories have always been kind of like a soap opera, haven't they? It's just that they used to stick more with the one one plot at a time.
Yeah.
As they might introduce bits for the next plot, but nothing too much until the one that was running was, yes, you know, was finalized, and then they'd move into the next one. But, you know, I appreciate it more this time, and I think it's because after reading Elsewhen, which is also like this, in fact, yeah, it's probably worse.
It is worse, in my opinion.
So after that, it makes this actually easier to stick with and read, and you think, oh yeah, this is okay, yeah, it's good. I got used to it through Elsewhen.
Yeah,
I appreciate it more thanks to that. Yeah.
So, well, good. All right then, that wraps us up for issues 10 and 11.
And the next issue, of course, is a double issue, folks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there should be a lot of stuff going on.
And there will be, definitely.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out.
We'll see what happens.
What's going to happen to people in the next issue.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, lovely listeners, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Let us know your thoughts and comments by emailing us at gottagetburned@gmail.com or on Facebook at our group Third Degree Burn. That's the number 3 RD Degree Burn. And leave us a review on Apple and your other podcast provider, because reviews help people find the podcast. So any last comments, Nigel?
Don't think so, only that
all right then,
I'm ready for the next exciting episode.
Excellent. All right then, well, until then, when we cover X-Men Hidden Years number 12, I'm John Hyatt
and I'm Nigel Spink. Thanks for listening
and have a good however you listen to us. Yay,
bye bye.
No, wait! It's me! Bogart, remember? It's bad to kill. Guns kill. And you don't have to be a gun. You are what you choose to be. You choose. Choose.
Bogart.
It's okay. We gotta show them you're good.
Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's TWOTRUEFREAKS.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the 22 Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's GOTTAGETBYRNED@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Burn.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.